Tom DePue.
What a blessing. We have Jerry Abbott here with us this week as well. Jerry's going to come and preach for us this morning. Thank you, Jerry, for being here. You've been a good friend over the years. God bless you as you bring God's word.
Thank you. Good morning. So I love missionaries. I love mission conferences. I love preaching the gospel. I love going and serving. And I'm sure you do too, or you wouldn't be here. I want to just be kind of direct today, if I may, not in a bad way, but just that's just kind of who I am. I'm an old Texas boy, grew up on a ranch, and I don't know too many things there, you know, but I do know some things that God has given me and done for me in a lifetime. So why should you be involved in missions is my question. Because, well, the pastor thinks it's a great idea, right? Missionaries, we love the idea. But what more can we do? Why? Let me define what I consider missions, if I may, and hopefully this will be fine. Missions is the effort to evangelize and disciple converts by preaching the gospel, baptizing and teaching them, and planting indigenous churches in their own nation, as well as the nations that are close to them, so that they can reach not only their people, but the rest of their world. And so I want to just give you four things today about missions and why I think it's important. I think we could easily and simply say missions is important to God. Because obviously it was without Him and without the commission and without all He's done for us that we can know Christ, we would have nothing to offer at all. So I want to give you a few examples, and I'm not going to be lengthy in this, but I'm going to read a few scriptures, some from the Old Testament, some from the New, and just to show you that missions is throughout the Word of God. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's in there if you look for it. So in Genesis chapter 2, Abraham was confronted by God, and he said, you know what, I'm going to make of you a great nation. This is Genesis 12, 2 and 3, if you want to look there. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall, notice this, all families of the earth will be blessed. Psalm 96, 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. New Testament examples, Matthew 28. This is, I bet every missionary in here knows this frontwards and backwards, this passage. But let's look at it again. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have given you and commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's pretty plain and simple right there, isn't it? Everybody can understand that. Luke chapter 24, verse 46-48. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among, again, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20:21, Jesus told His disciples, He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And we are those that God has commissioned to go and preach the gospel everywhere we can. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Revelation 5:9, they're singing a new song in heaven. This is after so many things have taken place and we're in the throne room or with God, wherever that would be. And he says, you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. I Googled it and there are 195 nations on the planet right now today. But here's the thing. It's important that we realize this is a huge thing, but we're not left to do it alone. In fact, there's no way we can do it alone. We have to have God's power. We have to have God's help. We have to have the authority that He has that we do not, but He can access that for us. And we need to do our best to reach every person that's possible. So, of course, we have John 3:16, which is a great verse. Everybody knows that one. And I want us to realize that with all of this evidence, it's pretty obvious to me anyway, that if God is a missionary God, and I believe He is, I think you could agree with that, that it'd be logical that God's people would want to be a missionary people. And so I would encourage us, if we're not doing that, to find a way to get involved in that. Now my second, the first one is, I believe God's a missionary God. Secondly, the hopeless condition of man. And our brother here just talked about that, touched on it well. And yes, we have a mandate. We know what we're supposed to do. And we need to do our very, very best. Men are without Christ. Women are without Christ. Children without Christ. Every person who's born on this planet is born a sinner. And we really need to do our best to try to reach everyone that we can. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because we all need to repent. We're sinners. We need that repentance. We need that forgiveness. And so, men are without hope unless and until they know Christ. And if you're here in this room today and you're not sure that you're a born-again Christian, if you don't have a personal living relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to realize that you're in danger. You're in danger of dying and going to a place that you do not want to go to. And so I would encourage you, if that's where you're at, or if you're trying to decide, and you're on the fence maybe, and you don't know for sure if you're saved or not, you should come and talk to one of the pastors and make sure that you are going to be in heaven someday, because it's that important. There's no do-overs. Okay? You got one life, and that's it. So, the hopeless condition of men. I like statistics. Maybe you don't. And if you don't, I'm sorry, but I'm going to read this anyway. 75% of the population of the planet Earth have yet to hear a clear explanation of how to receive Christ. 75%. 60% of the world has never even heard the name Jesus. Can you imagine that? It's true. There are 535 million Buddhists. There are 1.2 billion Hindus. There's over 18 billion Muslims on this planet. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus Christ. And you know, I noticed in recent years, there have been, Muslims especially, have been coming to Christ in record numbers. And I think, you know, a lot of them are Iranians or Persians, and they call it the Persian Spring. And I've been to places and seen what God is doing, and it just blows my mind. But I'm so overwhelmed of how God is reaching this particular people group. And that's not the only one, but there are many. So it's important to God that we fulfill the Great Commission. Man is hopeless. And I think a third reason is that we just need to be obedient to what the Great Commission says. Now, occasionally I get asked the question about a missionary call. And sometimes people are they don't know exactly what that is or what it's supposed to look like. And the only thing I could ever tell them was that I can tell you what God did in my life, okay? But I'm not about to tell you what God wants you to do with your life, because I really don't know what God's will is for you. But I know for sure there was a day and a time when God said clearly to me, I want you to go for me. And how could I refuse? I could not. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're thinking about what God wants you to do. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah was in the throne room of God, and God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah was there, and you know, he volunteered. I mean, I can kind of see Isaiah, this is the way I picture it, is that he's kind of like a second or like a third or fourth grader when the teacher asks a question like, I know, call me. And I think Isaiah was wanting. I mean, he volunteered. So here's what I mean. I think if you think God wants you to do something, maybe you've thought about something's came back through your mind from time to time, and you think maybe this is something that God's trying to speak to you about, pursue that. And you can be a volunteer. In fact, I don't think God would have any problem with if you decide, well, I'm going to get some kids together and do a little Sunday school lesson with them and maybe lead one to Christ. I don't think Jesus is going to mind if you do that and you volunteer. Amen. Make some initiative. So, not every Christian is called to be a missionary. I know some, you kind of struggle with, am I supposed to go or not? I don't believe every Christian is called to be a missionary on the mission field, but I do believe that every Christian should struggle with that question, does God want me to go to the mission field? I think we need to give that some thought. You know, Jim Elliot said this, most American Christians don't need a call, they need a kick in the pants. And I'm afraid he's right about that sometimes. You know, Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, and there were about five other men, this is about 50 years ago, they went to the Aucca Indians down near Ecuador. And many of you probably know the story about that, but they were all martyred. The people that they went to try and preach the gospel to actually killed these men. But what happened after that was that when people began to hear what had happened and the tragedy, which at the time was tremendous, but there became more interest in missions. There became more of an emphasis and a realization, hey, if we're going to reach this world, we need to do it now. And if these men died in vain, then that's a tragedy. But they didn't die in vain. They died following the call of God, because this is where God had them to go. I think that missions is God's therapy for the sin of selfishness within the local church. We have to realize that we have to sacrifice. We must. We must give it our best. We have to do that. And another reason that my last reason here is to bring glory to God. Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "Whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." If we can glorify God by eating and drinking, then we ought to be able to glorify God by winning people to Jesus Christ. We can do it. We can. I remember it was 1991. We were on deputation, and we were on our way to Hungary, slowly but surely, and we were in New Mexico, and we were in a little town up north called Aztec, New Mexico. Anybody ever heard of Aztec, New Mexico? Okay. Well, it's just about you throw a rock and you hit the border of Colorado. It's way up there. Well, anyway, we're in there, and the usual thing, we had all of our family with us this time, my wife, myself, our seven kids. And so after the service was over, as customary, out in the foyer or wherever, on the way out, people come by and they come by and shake your hand and say all kinds of things. And so we were doing that, and this lady came by and took my hand, and she said, "Brother Jerry, I feel sorry for you." I said, why would you say that? She said, "Because you're going to go to Hungary with your family, your dear wife and your seven little kids, and it's a long ways away. I mean, it's way far away, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be hard." And I'm thinking, this woman does not have the gift of encouragement. And I think she I know she meant well, okay? She wasn't trying to be rude or anything. I think it just maybe came out kind of weird. And I said, "Ma'am, don't feel sorry for us, okay? Please don't. Because I'll tell you why. You see, out of all the millions of people that God could have called to go to hunger, He called us." And I want you to know that someday, Lord willing, you're going to read a prayer letter and you're going to see some people, some Hungarians, have accepted Christ and have a new life. And I want you to know something, that here's what's the best part of this, is that I don't have to read about it. I get to be there when it happens. I get to be in the presence when a hell-bound sinner becomes a heaven-bound saint. And I don't want you to ever feel sorry for a missionary, because we love what we get to do. And it's a privilege and a blessing to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who've never heard. And that is why you don't feel sorry for missionaries, because we love what God has called us to do. And I hope that you will follow and do your best. Thank you.